Say back to basics. Huh? Say basics. Say basics. You know, like 1, 2, 3. You know, from calculus, just back to basics. 1 plus 1, 2, 2 plus 2, 4, yeah. Psalm 96, yeah? Is that what I say? Alright. Let's get started. This evening, Lord, we receive the wisdom that comes from you alone, and our hearts are broadened to receive the bounty of your word. Psalm 96 verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Sometimes you wonder how this sounds as a song. Because most of them were songs or poems. And you just want to imagine. There's a channel on YouTube that sings scriptures. And I listen to it often. It just picks the scripture. Now you go find it, yeah. I'm not going to give you. So, I can't even remember the particular channel I just mentioned. So they sing scriptures. You just see Psalm 91. Sing all the verses in songs. It's so beautiful. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song in all the earth. But that's not my attention. It says, declare his glory among strangers or among the heathen, his wonders among the people. There must come a point in our work with God, and I believe it is now, that we must move from need-based Christianity to purpose-based Christianity. From need-based. What do I call need-based? A Christianity that is only dependent on God based on what you can get. So, I only remember God well when I'm seeking for a job, I'm seeking him for a wife or husband or for a contract or for promotion. What else do people seek God for? Sometimes, you know, pay my rent, pay my bills, get a car, you know, everything about your Christianity is just about what I need. But God never intended that that should be the basis of your faith. Because that means you do not have fellowship. What you have is transaction. Fellowship is not dependent on needs. Your father was your father before you knew you could pay your school fee. He did not become your father. And say, oh, you can pay my school fee. Oh, Abba Father. Nah. He didn't become your dad or your mom because, oh, they give me food. No, you had been eating. You just discovered that, oh, we've had fellowship. You're not my mom because you decided to give me food. No, you were my mom before my needs. May God help that in our heart. Amen. We need to move from need-based Christianity to purpose. We have a responsibility as an end-time church. If we relax, it's not because the war is not going on. It's because we are blind to it. If the church is quiet, it's not because there is no war going on. It's not because there is nothing strong happening. The church, I dare say, is probably at the most important century. Century is 100 years, right? So let me pick it. Half a century. You see, there's a transition going on in the world. And what happens in this time will determine what will happen in the next 30, 40 years. That's never been more important than now. Slowly, there is a decay of real Christian culture. How many Christians born from year 2000 or 2004 will be 20, what years now? 21? So that's an adult. Know what they call travailing prayer. I mean, you know, I say travailing prayer. God help us. I mean, growing up, I don't want to mention the pastor. I'm not led to. But there was the pastor I was listening to is serious. Maybe I'll mention later, but right now I won't. And I remember he taught for 2.5 years every Wednesday. And the topic was just prayer. I think you teach on Wednesday, prayer, and you would pray on Thursday for 2.5 years every week. Whether you like travel to Antarctica, when you come back, you just go back. Prayer, part 100. Imagine traveling for 8 months to come back and say, what are we now discussing on Wednesday now? Say prayer. So we're still on it. Part 34. Part 89. Part 149. What's pastor teaching? Prayer. You don't commit to those kind of fellowship with God because of needs. Just needs go, needs come. There was a time in your life that what you have now was what you prayed for. If that was all you needed God for, then you don't need him no more. There is a war going on, and the church must go back to basics. Are you listening to me? You can't judge the strength of a church with seating capacity. Renard Bonnke, who you know I love so much, say the strength of a church is not the sitting capacity, it is the sending capacity. It is how many people can go. Not many of us gather on a Sunday morning or on a midweek service evening. How many people can go? The sending capacity. I'll let you know that a church can gather and Jesus is outside. Then what are you doing? We will not gather in vain. Amen. It's a sickness. If someone who is at the sending age is still sitting down. So much in my heart this evening. So much. So much. We need to go back to the basics. Why are we here? Why are we Christians? Why are we born again? Why is it that when you became a Christian, you didn't just get raptured? Bam. I'm going to say, now you're born again. Let me take you away from this world of sin. That would be nice. I think I won't have to pay bills. Amen. But he kept you here for a reason. And you will not fail. Because yeah. Sometimes, the deeper it gets, the fewer we become. It ought not be so. Sometimes, the more serious we get, the fewer. Why? There's a war. So I said, back to basics, right? He said, declare his glory among the heathen. Declare his wonders among the people. That means the believer has a purpose. So what are you going to do today? To declare his glory among all the people. I mean, what's your to-do list? Yeah, number one, to declare his glory among all the people. You were made to sing his song. How about that? You know, in the book of Revelations, John said, all things were made for his pleasure. You were made to sing his song. So you must ask myself, you ask yourself, I ask myself, is my life declaring God's glory among the heathen? Don't lose your purpose. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. In 2 Corinthians 5, he helps us understand the man in Christ. In verse 70, if any man be in Christ, you know it. You know the scripture. You know that scripture. He's in a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the way God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So the beginning, the genesis of the new creation, the man in Christ, is that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He puts in your duty as a job description to do exactly what he just did with your life. To reconcile men back to him. Basics. To proclaim his glory in all the nations. Basics. Say basics. We must bring ourselves back to the basics. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature means every creature, right? Huh? Rich, poor, tall, short, dark like me, or fair like you. All creature. So if I don't do it, is the commission truly great? And in case you're not aware, because like I said, we are in an era of Christianity where we judge churches by the car park. If I don't see a Bentley or an Brosolano's or those cars, I do. There was a time I actually knew a lot. Now I'm not even interested anymore. Amen? The Bentley, a Rolls Royce, a Mercedes, 2029, that is not, I have not even reached. So you look at the car park, it's church. Don't even look at the pastor. What's his following like? If you judge me by that, you could as well not be here. Amen. What's his following like? How is it like on Facebook and Twitter? What's it like? You're not even going to see me. And that's become an endemic. It's become something that we have just accepted as this is it. The churches go by media presence. We puff things up. I'm not saying don't use the media. We use the media and we're going to use it more. Someone still reached out to me from the United Kingdom yesterday. I was talking. An Arsenal professor. I was listening to the teaching, how to undo tough times or whatever. was like, who? I was telling you. She was, I said, oh, this is interesting. We're going to use the media. But I'm saying, that can't. There are places in the world that the presence of God is strong and they are not on Instagram. You will be shocked. You'll be shocked at people serving Jesus. They even know more Greek words than you. They know the scriptures. They know theology. You think you know Bible? You can't judge the church with sitting capacity. Go back to the basics. What did he call you to do? To proclaim his glory every day. Among the heathen. His wonders among the nation. What is his wonder? Salvation. So if I don't tell people about Jesus, I am already failing the purpose test. You don't have to have a megaphone. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have an account where you go live and pray. Your sister, your elder sister, your younger sister, your brother, your cousin, your friend, your neighbor. Have they ever heard of what the blood has done from your mouth? Have they ever heard of what Jesus did from you? There must come a time when we must go back to the basics. Because brethren, war is looming. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. He that believes and is baptized is saved. 16. He that believes not is damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. 17. Those that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. He has given us something. Something to say. Something to live by. So when are we going back to the basics? Because we could be distracted. Oh my, bro, sis, we could be distracted. Distracted by seemingly noble things. We could be distracted by theology. Theology is good. Hermeneutics is lovely. Where we look at context. You know, what does this mean? What was Jesus saying? So what's the idea of rapture? Eschatology. In Thessalonica to the Thessalonica church. The gifts of the Spirit. Let's look at it. You could have a book written about the charismatic gifts as big as this. But you should ask ourselves, is this a distraction to purpose? Because your purpose is not primarily theology. Of course, your purpose is to know him more, to love him and serve him. But your purpose is primarily to shine his light in dark places. When Jesus called Peter, they didn't know a lot of theology. Are you listening to me? He called them fishermen, tax collectors. They didn't even know what was going on. If you ask them to explain the Torah, they'll look at you and say, go meet the Pharisees. They'll do a better job. Let's even say, at the end of Peter's life, did he actually know the theology? At some point he said, listen to Paul. Even as our beloved brother Paul has written in all his epistles, those things which some are hard to be understood. 2 Peter 3:15. Some things Peter wasn't telling you, maybe you should just listen to Paul. He didn't know everything. So sometimes, theology itself can even be a distraction
to the grand purpose. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Proclaim his glory among the heathen, his wonders in all the nations. That is your calling. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by wealth. I like money. Amen? You should too. If you don't like money, who's going to feed you? Definitely not me. Who's going to feed? Is it me? Sorry, I don't own a restaurant. So I can't feed you. You must like money. You must work for it. That's the reason why we all work. But there's this idea. There's this idea of I must just make it. Funny enough, you see, when I talk like this, oftentimes people look at me and say, you have found, you are a pastor now. Hey pastor, you have reached bus stop. I don't have reached bus stop. You think this is the best we'll ever be? Nah. You're wrong. This is the least I'll ever be. You are literally seeing the base version. Tomorrow I'll be better. I've not gotten to any bus stop. And there's this, I'm a businessman. I want to think so. Amen. But to a very large extent, probably more than 50% of people in this room, I'm a businessman. So I don't lack ambition. In case you think I sit down in church and counsel people, I've got serious ambitions. I'm too young to be counseling you Monday to Sunday. At some point, you should be looking at me and say, don't you need a counselor too? I'm too young for that. Baba Debo has churches in 170 countries plus. Yeah. There's absolutely no need to work. Amen. The work will find you. I know what I'm talking about. We've got church in just Lagos and Ibadan, and I know what I'm talking about. So when you have churches, when you have over 10,000 in Lagos alone, you don't expect the man to go to office. Hallelujah. Some of you have just two business, you quit work. Because you can't manage it too. You expect someone to manage over 20,000 churches. Around the world, over 50,000 churches around the world. I'm not there yet. So I have got ambition in the natural. But no matter what your ambition is, it must not distract you from the basics, the purpose. One day, that ambition will be useless. Your spirit man does not have a BSc, does not have an MSc, does not have a PhD. And that's the one that lives forever. Your spirit man has not got any portfolio, any financial portfolio anywhere. That ends on this earth. If you like, collect $2 million as salary every month. It ends here. And then, the real question of purpose starts getting asked. Did you live your purpose? You're not going to tell God my purpose. Ah! I became a very good software engineer. Say, your spirit man is not that stupid, I think. Amen. Amen. Don't be distracted. There's this idea of freedom. something. You know what? What I'm doing right now, I'll just do it for this phase of my life. This is the phase of my life. This is all my life. Anywhere I find myself, it's still Jesus. It's still His word. It's still His church. It's still His mandate. It's still His glory all around me. It's still His word, eroding His word in every place, among every tribe. It's not a phase. It's not some phase I just engage myself in, and then, you know, when I'm now more matured, you know, I will not have other things. I will not be free. It's a battle you are fighting. Freedom. You think preaching the gospel is not freedom? What's the idea of freedom? One day you're not going to go to church. You can join church online when you want to join. When you feel like it. When you feel like listening to a teaching, you go to YouTube. And then you listen to that teacher and you say, oh, glory, 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 charisma. And you know, tongues does not leave you. You can still speak in tongues. Jesus is glorified in your life, is he? You say, he's glorified in all the nations. Is that true, you? You don't get the reward for what other men did. So what is free? Let me show you something. Acts 16. Let me just show you something. It just came to my head now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Acts 16. Freedom? You think serving Jesus is not freedom? Acts 16. Please, if you got babies, please. Don't distract us. Acts 16. This is Paul and Silas. So they journeyed. Verse 20. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, they exceedingly trouble our city. Verse 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. You know the story when Paul and Silas were jailed. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do to observe, being Romans themselves. But Paul eventually now used double citizenship for them. Said, nah, I'm both a Jew and a Roman. Sometimes that can be an advantage. Verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid them many strips on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received the charge, thrust them into the inner prisons and made their feet fast in the stocks. That means he chained them, two legs together. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, say suddenly, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, walking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Verse 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, better don't kill yourself. We are all here. For then he came for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Can we verse 30 together? And brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, when the jailer is asking the jailed what I can do to be saved, then you know who is truly free. The one that is the jailer is asking the jailed, save me. there's a tainted idea of freedom that the devil paints. Freedom is, I have so much money, I don't know anything, I don't know what to do with it. Then I will now have my wife and my children, they will now be traveling everywhere. Then, of course, there's just this subtle thought of, then we can give any church any money that we want to give. That will be in a way. For such, we use Peter's words, your money perish with you. Freedom is in Christ. So who is truly free? The jailer or Paul? We have arrived at a time in history where we must, and I say it again, we must define true freedom. We must. Am I free if I am bound to the ideas and the comfort of this world? Am I actually free? I've told you before, there are freedom. There's a freedom that is dangerous. Even if you are flying, you fly in an aircraft. That means you are still bound to something. The day you decide to fly in the air yourself, you are gone. Amen? You say, I don't like the aircraft. I want to be free. Like a bird. Fool. Jump like a bird. You will see what happens to birds that don't have wings. There's a freedom that is dangerous. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden. You may freely eat. But of God puts his guardrails. His guardrails. Guardrails. You know those rails? Imagine, you know, we are upstairs. Imagine we don't have rails. Amen. Imagine we don't have rails. One day you just speaking in tongues. Next thing you just ragada balaba. Yay! The yay is not travailing prayer. His person is going down. Amen. No, you just be carrying the spirit, prayer group. One leg. So those guardrails, are they limiting your freedom? Or they are preserving your life? So what is true freedom really? You must not be distracted by wealth. You must not be distracted by theology. As noble as theology is, as noble as hermeneutics and all of those things are, the knowledge of God's word must not distract us from true purpose. To shine light. Are you listening to me? We must not lose it. We must not. Must not be trapped in distractions. So pastor, so what me I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for circumstances to put themselves together for me to be able to do this very well. So pastor, what I'm saying is, maybe you don't get me. I'm a nursing mother. So when my son, my daughter grows to like 7, pastor, the way I would do ministry, nah, you won't. Right now I'm doing my HIV. You know, the Paribias, the CMS, everything. ODE, everything. So right now you are on HIV. I'm personally running my HIV program. When I'm done, Even Jesus will beg me. The same way you had an excuse with the program, something else will come up. There is never a time when your life, all you have in your life is the gospel. If you are not a child to someone, you will be a colleague to someone. You will be in a relationship with someone. You will be married to someone. You will be someone's father. And when you think, oh, my children are grown, you will now be someone's grandfather. There will always be something. At that point, where the circumstances are aligned, I just want to take care of my grandkids. Tick, 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 says the clock. When last did you share the gospel with someone? Not out of compulsion. Not because the church is going on outreach. No. You went, you had it in your heart that the gospel has to be preached to this person. This person has to be saved. Thousands, millions around the world groping in the dark. Strangers to the promise of God. And yet here you are. You're running your MSC. It's okay. If you have an excuse, then is the commission great? Is it great enough? Tonight, I just want us to realign our hearts and probably say a word of prayer. Because we need to go back to the basics. Jesus told that church in Ephesus, he said, I have one thing against you. You have forgotten your first love. He said, go back to it. Pastor, my own is fear. Fear of what exactly? You see, I didn't quote more scriptures. I just wanted to point you back to the basic. Go back to the basics. Just go back to the basics. Sharing God's word with another. Go back to the basics. Fear? Fear of what? Of who? Man? What is man? Here today, gone tomorrow. James says, the life of a man is like a vapor in the wind. Have you seen vapor before? Huh? You've seen vapor before? Imagine a vapor in the wind. Fickle. That is the same man that is making you not preach. That is this fear of rejection. Rejection? It's part of your call. Paul says, as ministers of Christ. He says, so that death can be at work in us, but life at work in you. Rejection? Brace up for it. Disapprovals? Of course. If I now preach to the person, you now tell me, no. Even Jesus went to places where he was not accepted. He says, this is not the son of the carpenter. This is the one that will preach to me. Do you know who I am? And Jesus looking and say, hey, me, son of the carpenter. Oh, bad grandfather, I lie. Fear of man. If at this age you fear labels, they will start calling me spiritual, then you are a stupid Christian. I am not sorry to say it. That is exactly, I don't have any other description to describe you, my sister, my brother, than stupidity. Because even in cases and in matters that are not spiritual, you should not fear labels when you're on the right side. You're doing your job. Someone said, yeah, all is overdue. And you know you're not overdoing it. You're just doing your job. So because people will say overdue, you will not do your job. Oh my God. How will you be living your life based on the feedbacks you get of people? I have never done that. Maybe as a younger person. But trust me, I'm the last person seeking your validation. I don't give a hoot. I don't care. God's word has instructed me, and you think you have something to say? Call me. Far back in Genesis 2, Genesis 3, I was called SU. Maybe that's acceptable now. I don't know. But then it used to be very derogatory. They use it almost like a slur. As you don't have a life, you don't know what's happening. You don't even have a palito. You don't know what's going on. You don't have sneakers. And you know my response? I started putting my shorts here and my trousers here. I said, I'm not even doing this SU thing very well. It looks like I'm not doing it very well. You should not have to call me. You should have seen it from afar. So I go to secondary school. Those ones, they just saw it immediately. I said, I will not give you a chance to have me do something for you to call me SU. You will see it. What they will call you. Have you ever thought, what does God think about me? Lay down his life. Gave you everything that pertains to life and righteousness. And you have never won a soul. If you have, maybe you have won 10. It's not enough. Pray for me as I close. It's not enough. Brothers and sisters, we need to get serious. We need to get willing to go back to the basics. Like I said, there is a war for people's lives, especially of this generation. The average youth spends time on social media. Bible studies have become old school. Try it. Just say it at work. I'm going for Bible study. I think it became so old school that people didn't want to call it Bible study. We started calling it midweek service. So let it sound posh. It used to be Bible study. Digging deep. If you are not deep, don't come. That's what they are telling you. Don't bother showing up. Meaning, this one, we are not on the surface. We are digging deep. What are we doing exactly? Don't be the kind of Christian the devil is proud of. Yeah, I like that. I like your own kind of Christian. Yeah, cute. You do your prayers on TikTok. Your entire fellowship with God is based on your needs. Every time you are comfortable, God doesn't exist. He's dead to you. When a need springs up, yeah, do it, Lord, do it, Lord. Do what exactly? One day, you and I will stand before him. You don't have to believe me. I'm so sure you'll find out. Amen. I was preaching someone during the week. And he was asking me, he said, so like I said, he's an upcoming atheist too. So, this thing you're saying now, you want me to believe a God? A God, where was he before the beginning? So you will get there. Even that will not allow you to get there, but your atheism is shaking. You're asking, where was God before? Before is a function of time. Sorry. You must first ask me where time came from. That's where we started to talk. Where was something before? Let's start with time. The idea of eternity. God doesn't know eternity. When we say eternal life, that's man's description of his life. God does not have eternal life to offer. All he has is life. We are the ones that said it's eternal. That eternity is man-made. That's not for today. But we open our hearts to love him more. Because there's no other way to show that we love him than to shine his light. In the next 3 days, let one person come to Jesus because of you. It doesn't have to be an unbeliever. A backsliding Christian. One who has lost his way. The ball is in our court. Can we pray for ourselves this evening? Just pray for yourself.